This is UIN, the podcast.
A mental illness problem. If you look at both of these cases,
you see today white nationalism is a rising threat around the world.
I don't really. I think it's a small group of people that have very, very serious problems.
He is an open, avowed racist and is encouraging more racism in this country.
It was a perfectly fine night. Everybody was having a good time. There was really no issues at all. It wasn't even arguments or anything. It was very unexpected what happened.
Welcome to UIN, the podcast. I'm AK, along with Brooklyn Alexander. Here's some things that's happening in the news.
According to a recent study, for the past two decades, high-income and college-educated individuals have decided to live in central urban neighborhoods. The moves may increase the tax base and reverse urban decline, but they also gentrify neighborhoods by displacing original residents, people living in low-income central city areas. The study done by the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia identified the top four gentrified cities as Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, and Atlanta, Georgia. Others wrapping up the top 10 included Denver, Colorado, Charleston, South Carolina, Austin, Texas, Raleigh, North Carolina, Boston, Massachusetts, and Richmond, Virginia.
First, there was a shooting in El Paso, Texas that killed at least 20 people, and hours later, a gunman in body armor opened fire in a popular entertainment district in Dayton, Ohio, killing 9 people, including his sister, and wounding dozens of others before he was killed by police. 24-year-old Connor Betts was killed less than a minute after he started shooting in the streets of Dayton's historic Oregon district. His 22-year-old sister Megan was the youngest of the dead, all killed in the same area of bars, restaurants, and theaters that's considered a safe area downtown. An eyewitness described some of the incident.
It was a perfectly fine night. Everybody was having a good time. There was really no issues at all. It wasn't even arguments or anything. It was very unexpected what happened. Once the gunshots start like coming rapidly, you just see the crowd. We run it down towards to get out of the Oregon. And you can just see as I turn around, my friend was behind me. He wasn't with me. So when I turn around, I'm looking for him. And I see he was stunned. And that's when I could see the people in the line. You can see the bodies actually start to fall. So we knew it was like bigger than just even a shootout. And we just continue to run. And we just yelling to people and just telling them, like, run, it's a mass shooter. Run, it's a mass shooter. Because a lot of people were stunned and they didn't know what to do. So you just had to kind of direct them to tell them, like, you got to run. Just continue to run.
Because African Americans have less access to traditional loans and are saddled with higher student loan debt burdens than other racial groups, it has been harder for Black Americans to come up with the capital needed to start their own businesses. Senator Kamala Harris wants to see a change in that, and she has a plan to do something about it. The Democratic presidential hopeful says she will unveil a multi-billion dollar effort designed to increase Black entrepreneurship, in addition to putting cash into STEM programs at historically Black colleges and universities. The funds will increase the number of Black engineers, scientists, and technological personnel. Senator Harris's efforts hope to close the wealth gap and increase Black homeownership.
Donald Trump talked a lot of stuff about Elijah Cummings' Baltimore-based congressional district as a rodent-infested mess where no human would want to live. But what he isn't talking about is the fact that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, owns more than a dozen apartment complexes in Baltimore that have been cited with hundreds of code violations and provide substandard housing to lower-income tenants. Kushner Companies, which started operating in Maryland in 2013, has owned almost 9,000 rental units across 17 complexes, many of them in Baltimore County. President Trump joked about the middle-of-the-night break-in at the Baltimore home of Representative Elijah Cummings. Cummings was at home during the incident but was not harmed. The president tweeted it was really bad news that the Baltimore house of Elijah Cummings was robbed. He also tweeted, "Too bad." The Transportation Security Administration has placed two of its officers on administrative leave after a racist display was found in an employee's area at Miami International Airport. CNN was first to report on the display, which consisted of two stuffed gorillas tied together and hung with a noose. An unnamed TSA employee with knowledge of the incident told CNN it was found tied to a pole in the middle of a workstation where officers screened passengers' luggage before it's loaded onto the airplane.
The National Women's Hall of Fame prides itself on celebrating the achievements of transited women throughout the course of American history. This fall, educator and activist Angela Davis will be recognized for both her courage and accomplishments. The Associated Press reports that Davis is among the class of 2019 inductees, including lawyer Sandra Dee, New York Congressman Louis Slaughter, and Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Morningstar Baptist Church of Christ in Baltimore told HUD Secretary Ben Carson to leave their property after his team set up shop on church grounds for a press conference about Baltimore. Carson didn't even ask to use the church property, just felt because it was a church, he could use it.
You were set up on this property right here. It's a church. They said, get off of our property. You know, a church, when we're talking about helping the people.
He knew absolutely nothing about this church when he made that comment. They were actually cleaning up some of the things on the property. Why were they doing that? To make it look good for him. They weren't doing it for us. He's using it as a photo op to make it look like they're doing something.
During the first Democratic debate, Senator Kamala Harris did pretty good, holding Joe Biden accountable for comments about segregationists and his policy on busing. But in the second debate, the tables have turned and Harris took a blow in the polls. According to a recent Morning Consult poll, Harris went from 13 to 10 percentage points. She was the only top 8 candidate to take a drop. Simone Manuel, the first black woman to win an Olympic gold medal in swimming, continues to break records by also becoming the first woman to take home 7 medals at one single world championship meet. In Tokyo, Manuel won 4 golds and 3 silvers, including being the first American woman to win the 50 and 100 freestyle. Congratulations to Simone Manuel. A white couple were arrested last summer after 2 children they adopted from Ghana were rescued outside their home in Iowa in 15-degree weather. The children were malnourished, with one child's growth stunted because of the neglect. The couple were arrested after an investigation found that the children lived in a room separate from the other 5 white children in the house. The only furnishings in the room they occupied was a plastic mat, a blanket, and a bucket. Charged with neglect or abandonment, as well as child endangerment causing great bodily harm, the couple took a plea deal, admitting to 2 counts of child endangerment. Then the judge gave them a slap on the wrist by giving the 2 years probation, 100 hours of community service, and a $12,000 fine. The charges would also be wiped from their records once they complete their sentence, which would leave the possibility that they could do this to other black children. Just recently, the Justice Department said they will not bring federal charges against a New York City police officer over the death of Eric Garner during an arrest that ignited nationwide protests 5 years ago. The decision marks the end of a civil rights investigation into an episode, much of it captured on video, that helped turn a national spotlight on how police officers use force. On the B.J. Murphy 20-Minute Morning Show podcast, B.J., Sean, and Sunday discussed the Eric Garner case and some things that black people should do.
July 17th, 2014, Eric Garner, on a sunny afternoon in Staten Island, New York, would live only for a few more moments.
I did nothing. We sitting here the whole time, none of our business. What are you talking about? You watched me do what? Who did I sell cigarettes to? To whom?
Put your hand behind your back.
You can't breathe.
CBS News has learned that federal prosecutors will not bring charges against any New York City police officer involved in the death of Eric Garner.
As you all can tell, I'm very angry. I am very angry. I stand here in the spirit of my sister, who fought for justice until her dying day for my father, standing outside protesting. She called the CCRB to do this investigation, and they didn't do their job. We called the Department of Justice. They didn't do their job. So no, I'm gonna stand outside and I'm gonna scream it. Pantaleo needs to be fired. He needs to be fired. There is no waiting. There is no nothing. So no, we will not rest.
Today, we share our emotions about one of the most brazen police killings in the history of Black America that was filmed for the whole world to see. All right, y'all, you know it was a hot summer day on July 17th, 2014, when they killed our brother, Eric Garner, of Staten Island, talking about he was selling some loose cigarettes. The police harassed him.
I did nothing. We sit here the whole time. None of our business.
Went up to him, put him in a chokehold, and of course, this week, Danny Pantanello, who was an NYPD officer, was acquitted of any federal charges in the death of Eric Garner.
When we evaluated Officer Pantaleo's actions in light of his training and experience, Mr. Garner's size, weight, and actions to resist arrest, and the duration and escalating nature of the interaction, we determined that there was insufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Pantaleo acted in willful violation of federal law. As a result, we conclude that there is insufficient evidence to bring a federal criminal charge against Officer Pantaleo for his role in the untimely death of Mr. Garner.
What did y'all feel about that when it came out?
I think what happened to Eric Garner is the history of America.
It's one of the cases that really hurt me, man. I remember watching it back in 2014. I'll never forget it. It was a Sunday. And I was sitting there looking at the evening news on CBS, and I saw it, and it made me so angry, I just ran upstairs. And for some reason, that touched me very, because he was such an innocent man. All of our Black men have been killed that have been unarmed, have been innocent, but that one on that particular way was done right in front of our face. And I said to myself, these people are showing this shit right in our face.
Right, and BJ, and basically what they're saying is, not basically, what they're saying is that selling loosey cigarettes, a Black man who sells loosey cigarettes, that's a crime punishable by death.
Right.
By lynching.
Yeah, it was a lynching.
When I listened to it yesterday, because they were playing, I couldn't even listen to the whole thing. It really affected me that much that I was just like, I can't listen to this again. Here this man, he was like, well, you know, just leave me alone. I'm not doing anything. Why are you messing with me? He kept saying it. And then to hear him say, I can't breathe, and they cared less. It was like worse than a dog. They, you know, they have, I bet they would have had more compassion for literally a dog than that man that begged for his life.
So where is the outrage regarding Eric Garner? Because I know I'm probably getting off the subject, but we see the outrage regarding those racist tweets Trump tweeted out.
Yeah.
The Democrat Party is all up in arms, but why aren't they speaking about this?
Right.
John Lewis, where's your speech regarding Eric Garner?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, and we want to attack Democrats like you do, but why isn't Republicans, Democrats, and others, we want to put it on one party, but I'm going to put it on everybody.
The Democratic Party is saying they are the party, basically, that represents African Americans.
So I'm not just blaming them. I'm blaming Democrats. I'm blaming Republicans, because why would you let that unjust department drop these charges and not even give it a second look? They didn't even look at it.
I am blaming the Democratic Party, because John Lewis got up on the floor yesterday talking about he know what racism feels like. He know what racism sounds like.
I know racism when I see it. I know racism, friend. I feel it. And at the highest level of government, there's no room for racism.
Well, if you know what racism feels like and sounds like, why aren't you speaking about Eric Garner? And if you know what racism feels like and sounds like, why didn't you know what it felt like and sound like when they wrote that crime bill? See, John Lewis, the Democratic Party, the Black Democrats, they are nothing but a group of step and fetch Negroes. See, I know the Republican Party is against me.
Right.
I know that. I think it's worse for the Democrat Party, who's supposedly supposed to represent me, when they don't. And that's why I attack the Democrat Party so much.
Yeah.
Because I didn't vote for the Republicans. I voted for the Democrats.
Well, you know what, Danny Pantaleo, a willful disregard of the law. There was an illegal chokehold, first of all. And you're not supposed to be using those methods to subdue suspects. And he choked the man out. Now, what I find positive about this case is Eric Garner's mother and his wife and children. They are a prime example of how you stand up and be strong for people who have been unjustly killed. They don't want no apology. They ain't on television talking about we forgive you and all that kind of crap. And that's what black people should, we should be unforgiving.
The time for remorse would have been when my husband was yelling to breathe. That would have been the time for him to show some type of remorse or some type of care for another human being's life. When he was screaming 11 times that he can't breathe. So there's nothing that him or his prayers or anything else would make me feel any different. No, I don't accept his apology. No, I could care less about his condolences. No, I could care less. He's still working. He's still getting a paycheck. He's still feeding his kids. And my husband is 6 feet under. And I'm looking for a way to feed my kids now.
Look at all the murders that have happened since Eric Garner. Tamir Rice, Mike Brown. You know, it just went in order just like that. And it just killed us. And no police have been convicted. So what is that telling black people with this case, with the federal charges, with him being just cleared of all of them? And then Trump's man, the attorney general Barr, he gets involved in it and says there's no way that we could charge him because there's not enough evidence to convict him.
Garner's mother spoke out this morning.
It's still an insult to injury that they're not going forward with charges, saying that the bar was too high for them to bring charges against him.
Okay, so now here's my question to both. I need action now because, again, like I was just talking to some gentlemen, what is our next step? What can we do?
That's a good question, Sunday. We have to do something. And we need to strategize. We need to have some meetings because now this right here is a nail in the coffin for real, in your face. Here's a man that was begging for his life on television. Y'all remember that, right? He's begging for his life. I can't breathe. What y'all harassing me for? I'm not doing nothing. I'm just standing out here and next thing he's dead? Come on, man. So something does have to happen. Something has to happen because I think black people are going to explode one day. And you're not going to be able to stop it.
Wait a minute, but I hate to sound so radical, but it is what it is. I'm so sick of hearing of a giant and having meetings. At what point do we raise our own guns? And, you know, like you always talk about separate, when are we going to be real about our separation? When are we going to really do something? After a while, don't you all get sick of just talking about it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Since he died, how many more? We can count on 3-4 hands. How many more people who didn't have weapons in their hand died? And all we keep doing is talking about, we're remembering 5 years ago, but I'm so ready to move forward. I need to know a positive plan of what to do next. You said no guns, but I'm like, well, if we're not arming ourselves, what the heck are we going to do?
Well, I can say this. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't tell you when it's going to happen. But I do know it is going to happen, that black people is going to collectively drop a bomb on America, and this is going to be hell to pay. Maybe there have to be maybe a couple of more murders by police officers or whatever for black people to explode nationally. But I know it's going to happen one day.
If another person died, what does it glorify? What does it happen?
And you can beat up on both parties, and you should beat up on both parties. And you definitely should beat up on the party that's supposed to represent you. That is one of the first things that you should always do. The parties that you vote for, demand that they advocate for your cause, because there are other, what is the purpose of them being there, and what is the purpose for you voting for them if you can't hold them accountable for their non-action?
You really have to go to war with the Democratic Party as black people, because they want your vote so bad. They claim that they are for you. There's never an outcry to fight for us when it comes to this. So to hell with every Democrat that doesn't have That's what I'm saying. That doesn't have the balls to fight for you. They should not. You should hold your vote. We did a show on that about withholding your vote. This is the time to withhold your vote to make these people fight for you. There's no other time. And matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because maybe this is the rallying cry that needs to happen with a federal at the top of the chain. The federal government said, fuck you. Fuck you, black people.
You've been listening to UIN the Podcast with Brooklyn Alexander and yours truly, AK. For more news and information for and about people of color, visit the Urban Internet News website at uinews.net. And don't forget to listen and subscribe to the Urban Internet News Podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. UIN the Podcast is produced by Urban Internet Media for the Urban Internet News Network. Thanks for listening.